Nobody really want fuego. Messiah will bring fire down worse than Waco. Buy you some coffee and Lego, your Eggos, your sandwich with mayo and two slices of mayo. Sitting at home on the couch playing Halo, but the Messiah ain't playing no Eggos. Games, women and pants gonna get it. Flames, brothers keeping no commandments. Same, calling our armies a favor. Event with your NATO and soldiers with Dracos. Just tell me, how can you stop a tornado or better yet the lava from the volcano? They really can't, bro. They have to pay, bro. The most I say so. So in chase they go for all their wicked atrocities they owe. For all their wicked atrocities they owe. From San Diego to Trinidad Tobago, I'm spitting these words so all Israelites they know. Keeping commandments the only way we grow, so we can defeat the nation Galileo. Nation Galileo, get it? Cause they pale. He's bringing them hell for every bill of sale. So family, just examine yourself. When that fuego come, you don't wanna get left. Forsake your sins so you complete the test. Then you can have complete rest from all your stress. Fight to do right to your very last breath, or stay wicked and receive second death. Destruction of enemies is muy bueno. Make sure that's one of the things that you pray for. Into the kingdom, the sinners, they can't go. The sinners can't go. So we say, hasta luego, hasta luego.
Brothers really don't want fuego. Sisters really don't want fuego. Nobody really want fuego.
Woo.
From the one that's super dead. Fuego really don't want fuego.
Turn it.
Fuego really don't want fuego.
Turn it.
Fuego really don't want fuego.
Turn it.
Nobody really want fuego.
Hey,
from the one that's super dead.
Fuego.
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 Hey. You don't want that fuego.
You don't want that fuego.
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 Nah.
Hey.
You don't want that fuego.
Yeah, I gotta tell you, man, he's definitely an entertainer, this guy, right? give him that much.
He says this guy.
Soulja Fuego. In the building.
Definitely an entertainer. Now, look at his little ad-lib and turn it. Woo!
How many takes you have to do?
Shabbat Shalom. Welcome to the Power Hour, the Lost 144K Native Latin and Black Biblical Topics. I'm Captain Yahshua.
Hey, Shalom. Most High in Christ bless. Captain and Mariah. Shalom.
Welcome back.
Thank you. All praise the Most High in Christ.
Shalom, Israel. Soldier Gamaliel.
Shalom, Israel. Soldier Ruvain.
Hey, I like your hair.
Thank you. Thank you, sir.
I think it's way better than the chitlins you had hanging down.
We're just going to just part my hair to follow me.
And you know what? I can see a scalp. It looks perfectly fine to me, too, right?
Mm. Yeah.
Of course. It would look perfectly fine. This thing is greased, washed, scraped. She done exfoliated me. It was right.
Hey,
man.
All praise
that thing felt so good,
that's
man.
That's good, man. That's
I was
good.
Falling asleep.
Was that the Moab woman?
No. Oh, no. I never have a wash pot in my hair.
Oh.
Don't put wash pot in your hair. It don't go well.
Dirty water.
Anyway, welcome to the show. So this week, as promised from last week, we're going to continue on with our topic on modern-day lynchings and hate crimes. And, you know, last week I'll just give a little recap and then, you know, you guys can discuss some things as we go ahead and I post some links and stuff. But so basically the whole point was lynchings, we often think about just hangings and things like that, right? We also tend to think lynchings and automatically think Judah, solely Judah, which is the so-called African-Americans. But lynchings, by and large, is a terrorist-type tactic of Esau, which the world ignorantly calls the white man, that they use to inflict psychological terror, try to police things in their own way, where you're afraid to be out in the streets, you alter your behavior, creates this domino effect of us trying to basically not do anything that they may seem as antagonistic for fear of the repercussions of lynching.
Right.
And that's really what we need to hone in on, and not so much the form in which they take place, because there's many forms, and we can't just automatically think in our minds that it's just hangings, and you know, and you're thinking lynchings, and you're thinking just you know Jim Crow era, you know, pre-civil rights type of stuff, and it affects far more of the tribes than just Judah. So this is important to bring out and see, especially. In the so-called climate that we're in today under this administration here in the United States and the hatred that's been being spewed against primarily Issachar, but basically anybody who is so-called Latino, which are the northern tribes. You know, we Gad and Addison Rubin are part of that, but, you know, it's one of those things where, you know, they're here and they're on their reservation, so
they don't really come up in a lot of conversations. That's something that you kind of got to go in. It's almost like you're forgotten.
Right.
And you got to go in and go look at their conditions and where they're at today. They're not still existing. They're still running over. But, you know, the big thing now and how it's going on is obviously this hatred, this disdain for Latinos, you know. So that's what we're seeing. So while I go ahead and post links, you can go ahead and review this and go from there.
You realize me?
I wasn't.
No,
make your comments.
Okay, all right. I'll start with Nehemiah.
Understanding distinctly to our people and cause them to understand
what's written.
That's
what separates IUIC from everybody else.
Right.
It's causing them to understand. People can get scripted all they want and over talk people and yell at them, but give them the sense of being able to go precept upon precept and understand.
Right. Or teach them to just forget the issues, right?
Right.
What was interesting about the article we read last week, and what I mean is, by and large, Christianity as a religion, as a collective religion, not the real definition of Christianity, which are those who follow the true Christ. But Christianity as a religion, by and large, what do they teach you? They don't teach you to address these things that have happened to us head on. They teach you that that was the past, and forgive and forget about it, and just live in this abundance of love, and basically to live with blinders. Like, they don't address real issues in the community.
Love your enemies, yeah. Turn the other cheek.
Yeah, all that stuff like that, where you don't address these things head on. What was interesting about the article last week, which took basically the bulk of the show, we really didn't get to speak too much detail about the modern day lynching part. Last week was probably more of a focus on the hate crime aspect of what the El Paso shooting was, what the Garlic Festival was, and what you're kind of seeing as so-called Latinos are targeted. But she started the article talking about that. She said you can never overcome white supremacy without understanding the history of how it evolved and how prevalent it is and how it permeates against not just so-called blacks but Latinos as well. And her whole take on it was kind of going into the history of understanding how this is nothing new. Like I said in the beginning of the show with the modern-day lynchings, it's a form of physical, emotional, and psychological terror when you deal with modern-day lynchings that causes an adaptation in behavior by us.
Right.
That's their means for it. So this is their way of trying to go ahead and basically circumvent, in some cases, it's not as easy now, but back, not even back then, but when I say back then, maybe less than 100 years ago, where, remember a couple weeks ago when we did La Matanza, like the government was behind some of these things. You had the Texas Rangers and everything with these killings. But this is their way, by and large, to circumvent the laws, right? People say, oh, you have quotas and you have affirmative action and you have civil rights. But because of the power and the temperature, especially now, of that white supremacists have and that white supremacist mindset, they're able to put different types of things in place that still has the effect of what the lynchings were. Maybe less so physically and mm-hmm. so prevalent and so prominent as it was, where they were taking pictures of postcards and mm-hmm. They didn't care that they were the local governor or anybody. Now reputation matters to an extent and everything
right.
like that.
Right.
So they won't necessarily be as open. But they found different ways to kind of address it and support it. When you make the El Paso shooting more about gun control and not about the racist manifesto mm-hmm. that this guy wrote, because it seems like that was lost on it. Nobody's talking about that anymore.
Yeah.
And this was only, 2 weeks ago?
Right.
Right? And everybody's just talking about gun control. And the whole thing shifted away from that. And when people are defending that and they're changing the narrative to say, and it's real subtle the way they do it, that people were blaming Trump for it. Nobody was blaming Trump for it, but they're just letting you know that he's the mouthpiece of that movement.
Yeah.
Obviously, the guy responsible they have,
yeah.
right? They caught the guy responsible that pulled the trigger, but this is more than just another mass shooting. It's like they marginalized the fact that it was targeted against Latinos, and then mm-hmm. going ahead and dissecting what would lead to that starts with what's coming out of Trump's mouth.
Right.
And then it trickles down. It's everything else. Right. And now, mind you, I'm not against Trump. Right. I'm for him mm-hmm. because the Lord's for him, because he allowed
right.
him to be there for him as much as he's there. So,
that's there.
It. Right. And
yeah.
whoever's next, they're there, too. And that's it. Right. Mm-hmm. So anybody who gets elected, I'm for.
Right.
If you understand the scriptures.
Exactly.
Right. I ain't voting for these guys, but you understand that aspect of it. So anyway, I say all that to kind of bring it back to here, because that's really the theme of why we're bringing this out. And it goes back to what you said about reading distinctly and bringing this understanding out, because this racism, this white supremacy is the word that they're using now. It is something that has basically always been around. That's Esau's mindset. That's how they are. That's how they roll. That's what's in their spirit.
The pride.
And, I firmly believe that the Most High is allowing these things to happen because
he's pushing the mark forward towards that 11th hour where you're going to see more and more Northern Kingdom start to wake up.
Right.
That's right.
And you know, Bishop has recently mentioned it, so has Deacon Ithan. Yes, we are scattered all over the world, but the bulk of our people were pushed here, and we are here.
Right.
In this side of the world, and in particular, very much by and large in this country. Yeah, we're going to continue to minister to South America, Central America, and the Caribbean, and the scattered everywhere, but the bulk will be here. And it starts here, and the foundation gets built here, and then from here we branch out to that stuff. So it says, why El Paso and other recent attacks in the U.S. are modern-day lynchings? Carol Anderson was scanning Twitter recently when she saw something that brought back a chilling memory. Someone asked Latina women if they had changed the way they acted in public after a white man allegedly targeting Mexicans was arrested for gunning down 22 people in an El Paso Walmart. Right, so now it's like the narrative has changed. They're not saying that he was targeting Mexicans. He just gunned down 22 people.
People
are people. Mm-hmm. Just throw it all in as people. One woman says she no longer speaks Spanish when out alone, checks store exits, and now feels like a marked person when among whites. So again, going back to the psychological mm-hmm. terror of what lynching's purposes are, it's having its intended effect, right? And, you know, someone could say, well, this is one mentally ill, right? Because whenever it's Esau, they say they're mentally ill. This is one mentally ill individual. You know, how are you going to throw everybody on it? Well, when the dialogue shifted from this being a hate crime against Mexicans to being an argument about gun control, it goes to show you how the sleight of hand is done mm-hmm. to take the attention away from what really happened here. The hate feels like a ball in my stomach and a rope around my neck, the woman said. For Anderson, the allusion to lynching wasn't just a metaphor. It was personal. She had an uncle who was almost lynched in the early 20th century for standing up to a white man in an Oklahoma store. Damn, Oklahoma's so weird. She also is a historian who wrote about the lynching era in her book, White Rage. She says the white men who are driving a surge in white supremacist violence in places like El Paso today and are sending the same message to non-white Americans that their counterparts did in the lynching era. You will never be safe wherever you go. And this is the mindset that's being pushed with this type of thing.
Hey, that's actually scriptural.
Can I get a script on that?
Bring it out.
I got one too.
This is the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 28. Y'all want to start at 64, 65 or 66?
Well, you're the one that wants
to bring it up.
All right, so I'm going to go 65 then. This is the book of Deuteronomy.
I'll read it for you, and then you bring it up.
And then you bring it up. All
right, chapter 28, verse 65.
Since it's your last radio show.
Deuteronomy 28, verse 65. And among these nations shalt thou find no ease, neither shall the sole of thy foot have rest.
So, just thinking about what the sister said. The sister said she can't speak Spanish around whites. She has to check corners. She's afraid of being around them. And it goes all the way back even to when she was a child, remembering her father almost being lynched. Keep reading.
But the Lord shall give thee there a trembling heart.
So in the captivity, she has a trembling heart. She is afraid for her life.
Read. And failing of eyes and sorrow of mind.
She is afraid and she's scared. Read.
And thy life shall hang in doubt before thee.
She doesn't know. She doesn't expect to live from day to day. She expects to die at any moment, hanging around her oppressors, being around the land, being in the land of her captivity. Read.
And thou shalt fear day and night, and have none assurance of thy life.
She has no assurance of her life.
That's it.
That's all I got to say. Okay. I mean, the scripture is clear.
Hey, okay. That. Just wanted to make sure that you were complete, bro.
Yes, sir.
You going to bring something out, or was it you?
No, that's exactly what I was going to bring out, too.
Okay.
Can I get a Hosea 5:15? Because, I mean, literally just piggybacking right off of what you said. Hispanics, I know for a long time it just looked like it was the blacks that were being, persecuted against, but Hispanics were persecuted before black people even got over here.
Right.
I mean, they were the first ones to get lynched. You know, what was the
hanging
king's
up by
name?
13.
Hiawatha. What was his name?
Oh, the one that was.
Oh, Atahualpa.
I was close.
Atahualpa.
Right. Go ahead, give me that.
This is the book of Hosea, chapter 5, verse 15. I will go and return to my place till they acknowledge their offense.
So the Most High, because we didn't want to keep his laws, he said, look, I'm going to leave y'all to the wolves. Y'all want to dance with the wolves? Y'all want to live with the wolves? I'm going to leave y'all to the wolves. Read.
Ooh, dancing with the wolves. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
And seek my face.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. In their affliction, they will seek me early.
So going back to what Captain was saying about how someone at his job, a Mexican brother, was asking, you know, what does the Bible say about why my people are being persecuted? This is exactly what he's doing. So at this moment, he's seeing his people being afflicted, and now he's seeking out answers to why this atrocity is happening to the Latinos.
And that's pretty much all I could tell him at that point was like, look, we're at work. Like, I can't get too deep into it. I said the rabbit hole has many tunnels, and they're all very deep.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And I was like, but I will tell you this. You're getting afflicted because the Lord is looking for you to come seek his face, mm-hmm. and then acknowledge your offense. And he's like, yeah, you're right. The rabbit hole is deep.
Hey, but Cap, see, that's the thing. That's the thing I love about IUIC. That's the thing I love about what we're being taught here, because it's just like you said, it's way more than just the white man is the devil. Yeah, the white man is the devil. However, he wasn't a problem for us when we was keeping the laws. No nation has ever been a problem for us when we are keeping God's laws.
You know why it's much bigger than that too? Because when I was in the world, I knew the white man was the devil.
Right.
Mm-hmm. I've known that my entire life. That's why when Issachar was giving me DVDs to watch, he's like, "Oh, this is a good one. It explains who Lucifer is." I'm like, "Who is it? The white man?" He's like, "Oh, you know?" I'm like, "Bro, like that, yeah. it's obvious.
It's
like
a no-brainer."
Yeah.
Right. Give me Psalms 56. All right. Same theme about how, you know, she's saying that they live in fear, they walk in fear.
That's crazy. Right? That's insane.
She says, "You will never be safe wherever you go." Psalms 56 and start at 1.
This
is the book of Psalms, chapter 56, verse 1. "Be merciful unto me, O God, for man would swallow me up. He fighting daily oppresseth me."
Right, it's a daily thing from the womb, right? So this great travail is created, right, for the sons of Adam from the womb, right? That great travail is, it says, that, listen, these are the nations, that if they could, they would swallow us up. And for a time, they were successful in that, mm-hmm. because we forgot our identity, right? Mm-hmm. That's what they mean. They swallowed us up. That's going into being hidden ones, all right? They couldn't destroy us off the face of the earth as much as they tried,
right?
Damn near a billion of us combined,
right.
But we still here, right?
Too strong.
Right. So they said, listen, the only thing we can hope to do, right, because the Lord is true, he said he would not make them disappear,
right?
Their number is the sand of the sea. They said, listen, we're never going to be able to exterminate all of them. Mm-hmm. So you know what we do? Let's exterminate who they are,
right,
and assimilate them, you know, into us, into our society.
You know what they did? They said, look, let's teach them the Sabbath starts in the morning. Let's teach them they can eat whatever they want for Passover. Let's teach them that they have to be dipped in water.
Let's teach them that this tribe is not this, and these people are not them, mm-hmm. and it keeps that separation.
And you know it was successful because our people are doing that same thing now.
Right.
After knowing the laws and the correct way.
And what's heavy about it is that it's so bad, it's so severe, it's so successful what their strategy has been, mm-hmm. that it doesn't just come from the other nations. It doesn't just come from the white man, the Arab man.
Right.
They have our own people
saying
that stuff under the guise of that it's the right way. Right? And this goes into our brother last week. Hey, shame on you if you don't study enough that you let yourself fall prey to these things.
That's right.
So it says, he fighting daily oppresseth me. What? When the scripture talks about oppressive a man and even and his heritage, right? Mm-hmm. So it says even his heritage. Can we get that? You know where that is? Right? I know I'm paraphrasing like crazy. No, you stay there. Okay. What you doing?
What is that?
You know where it is. Call it out to him. But go ahead, read on.
Verse 2. "Mine enemies would daily swallow me up."
It daily swallow me up. How? They do things subliminally with television, with advertising. They make us racially ambiguous, right? Mm-hmm. The illusion of inclusion. Daily, they swallow us up. It's all, everything outside of this Bible is against us. And you see it daily in this present world, right? Come on.
"For they be many that fight against me, O thou most high."
That's all those nations that are confederate. It's not just one. Yes, it starts with Esau, who is the so-called white man. But we're equal opportunity because the Lord is equal opportunity. Meaning, if you're not Israel, everybody else don't matter. They're not on the same level. Mm-hmm. So it says, there be many that fight against me. Come on.
"What time I am afraid, I will trust in thee."
So even though, like the article said, right, their thing is that you will never be safe, that we need to walk around in fear, going back to bringing out the sense and being distinct, the reason we bring this stuff out is to tell you, don't be afraid. This is all prophecy and must happen.
Right.
These things must come to pass. So rather than like Christianity, which teaches you just forgive and forget, but then leave some deep-seated things that people hold on to and eats at you like like a canker, like a cancer.
Right.
Because deep down inside, you know something's not right. You came out of Christianity. I came out of it. I don't think you did. No, you did. Right. You definitely did over there. Our producer over there, right?
He said definitely.
He said damn. Hey, you definitely, okay. You definitely did over there. And
I dabbled.
And guess what? The reason was because inside of you, exactly what I'm talking about, was not at peace.
Right.
Mm-hmm. You saw all these things that were going on around you, and you had this zeal for God, but not according to knowledge, like the scripture says. So you just went with what you could go with, right? So we got to bring this stuff out. It says, so what time I am afraid? It says, I will trust in thee when I am afraid. Come on.
In God, I will praise his word. In God, I have put my trust. I will not fear what flesh can do unto me.
And that's why we walk around, and while it's tragic and we weep and mourn when we see the condition of our people and the things that go on with them, all right? It says that we praise his word. You praise his word by keeping his commandments. That's right. How you praise his word, not by saying it, not by going to church and singing for 3 hours, all right? Yeah, that's part of it. We should sing praises and hymns and all of that. Mm-hmm. But you praise his word by being the living example that he wants you to be.
Right.
And it says, in God I have put my trust. Because we understand that these things are prophetic and that they're meat, that they must happen.
That's right.
So that our people can wake up. He says, I will not fear what flesh can do unto me. Listen, I don't want to die, but live or die, I have trust in the Most High. Right? Come on.
Ooh.
Ooh.
Oh,
bars. Come
bars.
On.
Bars. Bars.
I don't want to die, but I have trust in the Most High.
Come on, Reed.
Every day they rest my words. All their thoughts are against me for evil.
Every day they take what we try to say and they say we're hate groups. They say we're racist. They say we're this. Listen, all we want to do is bring awareness to our people of who they are and inspire them to keep the commandments and the faith of Christ like they were told from the beginning,
right?
And like we're instructed to do, right? But they wrest our words and they take them from us and they twist them and pervert them. And they say we're saying different things and they chop up video and say, look, and they isolate things. Mm-hmm. Come on.
They gather themselves together. They hide themselves. They mark my steps when they wait for my soul.
It says they gather themselves together. They hide themselves. All right. The ones that are like the real ones pushing all the buttons, mm-hmm. we don't know who they are. They hide themselves, right? And then they let all these other people who are the pawns and foot soldiers be the ones to come out. Exactly,
that's
the minions.
Right.
It says they mark my steps and they wait for my soul. This is that psychological effect of lynching. Come on.
Shall they escape by iniquity?
It says that shall they escape by their sin that they're doing against us, right? Come on.
In thine anger, cast down the people, O God.
It says, listen, we know the Most High is basically going to judge them. In his anger, he's going to come back, like Isaiah 66 says, and he's going to plead with all flesh, with his sword and with fire. Come
right.
on.
Thou tellest my wanderings. Put thou my tears into thy bottle. Are they not in thy book?
Are they not put my tears into thy bottle? My wanderings is our different captivities.
Mm.
It says, and put thou my tears into thy bottle because of all the lamentations of
mm-hmm.
our people, just
right.
like the book and the scriptures. And it says, are they not in thy book? Can you not find
mm-hmm.
these things
mm-hmm.
in there now and then now see those same things happening today? Come
right.
on.
When I cry unto thee, then shall mine enemies turn back.
Because why? When you cry unto him, you're crying on with a broken and contrite spirit,
right.
which means you're ready to repent and keep his commandments, just like Judith, like you brought out. So when we keep his commandments and we do what we got to do, then will show my enemies turn back. Right? Come on.
This I know, for God is for me.
And we know that God is for Israel, you so-called blacks, Hispanics, and Native Americans. Come on.
In God I will I praise his word. In the Lord will I praise his word.
And the praises of his word is by keeping his commandments. Come
right.
on.
In God have I put my trust. I will not be afraid what man can do unto me.
And this is why we cannot stop. This is why we must continue on with the mission. Our line has gone out, and it must continue to go out into the earth to bring this truth. Come on.
Thy vows are upon me, O God. I will render praises unto thee.
Go ahead.
For thou hast delivered my soul from death.
Even though physically we may die, we understand the promise of the resurrection. Those who die in Christ will be raised first. Come
right.
on.
Wilt not thou deliver my feet from falling, that I might walk before God in the light of the living?
Right. So it's just saying, deliver my feet from falling. Let me basically stay in your understanding, in your presence, to bring these things out. All right. Let me go back to the article here, right? So it says, the last time we read, she says, basically, this message to non-whites, right? And you know, they're going to throw in Ishmael a little bit. They throw in, you know, some other people. But we understand who the real narrative is for, right? It says, you will never be safe wherever you go. The thing about the lynching era was the capriciousness of it. No space was safe, meaning how prevalent it was, right? It was just, no matter where you were, there was always that possibility of being lynched.
Open domain.
Yeah. These people were in Walmart, man. It wasn't even like, and then he came to them. He drove like 80 miles to get to them.
No, it was way more than 80 miles. He drove from Dallas to El Paso.
Is that what it was?
Jesus.
That's like a 4-hour drive.
So he drove to get to them because he knew that this is where most of them would be, right?
He was hunting,
right? Man. It says, so no space was safe, right? So this is an African-American studies professor. It says, folks of color were never at ease. You're looking all the time. You're wondering, is this a place I can go? You could be walking down the street or in a store, or you could be sitting in your front porch and you could get killed. The term lynching evokes images of a bygone era. Black men dangling grotesquely from trees, Southern whites posing proudly by charred bodies, Billie Holiday singing Strange Fruit. But Anderson and others warned that many of the same elements that spawned the lynching era are stirring once again in America. Many of the same elements, right? Nothing new under the sun. It's the same thing. This isn't me trying to, what some people would say, rest my words and say that I'm twisting the scriptures.
Right.
This is a so-called expert in these fields that do studies and everything.
Right.
And he says, right? He says, many of the same elements that spawned the lynching era are stirring once again in America. One commentator even described the El Paso shooter as a lynch mob of one.
Right.
Mm. Because what? Now with the type of weapon and all that stuff, right?
Mm-hmm. 40 bins.
It says the result, Anderson says, is that more Americans, Latinos, blacks, Muslims, Jews, right? And that was probably the editor making sure that they put this in there, right?
Cover everyone.
Anyone not seen as white enough are now experiencing the same fear of being murdered at random in public that their relatives faced during the lynching era. I guarantee you Muslims and Jews are not experiencing that fear.
No,
not ever.
Definitely not the Jewish.
Because you know what other elements are at play here? It's not just these random private people who do this. But listen, we get it from the cops.
Right.
We get it. We get it from the president. From public officials,
judges,
from doctors,
teachers,
everywhere, people make presumptions about us.
I say
right.
A 9-hour drive from that he took to go commit this premeditated thing that he posted on social media, and nothing was done about it. Insane. 635 miles he drove.
Because they sent him.
635 miles.
Because they sent him.
Well, right. So it says. So we're experiencing that same fear of being murdered at random in public, right? It is tiring. It is ridiculous. It is infuriating, she says. Here are three parallels between the white supremacy of the lynching era, roughly the late 19th century through the 1960s, and today. So she's giving parallels to prove her case, right? So it says both are driven by the same fear. There's a perception that lynch mobs were motivated by mindless violence, but they were primarily driven by fear. White supremacists were afraid of losing their dominance and being replaced by blacks in positions of power throughout the South, right? Nice. And that's their whole motivation in everything that they've done, to consult together, to make us the hidden ones, to cast our bands aside. This is why it says, why do the heathen rage, right? And the people imagine a vain thing. Go ahead, what are we going to say?
Yeah, so even dealing with that, that's like a parallel with us. So just like they said, they move out of fear. That's what we were supposed to move out of. We were supposed to move out of fear. We were supposed to fear
the Most High, righteous
so much that we're going to keep His commandments and do what He says. Now they're moving out of fear to lose supremacy over us,
right? Because they know what the prophecies say. Like those ones that are hidden, like we read in Psalms 56, the ones that we don't see that are pulling all the strings. Mm-hmm. All right, they know. They know Judah 5. They know what these scriptures say. They know what's in store for them.
And then that's why Ezekiel says that surely. If I've been sent you to a strange nation, then they would have hearkened.
It's crazy that you said it because I got that from my class today. That was one of the scriptures that I'm bringing out.
Because they, like you said, they actually understand. Understand this, and they actually apply what the Bible says.
Right.
And what's real interesting is how they understand what's so hard for us to grasp. In that even Christ prophesied, and he said that Jerusalem will be trodden down until the time of the Gentiles be fulfilled, telling you two things in that. that the time of the Gentiles is not infinite.
Right.
Mm-hmm. The only one who's infinite is us. Right.
That's
Israel's
right.
the one that has an everlasting. Right. Daniel
2:44.
A kingdom that'll last forever.
Ever.
Right.
And ever.
Yes. Right. So it says it'll never be right. World without end. Right. Israel's a world without end. So letting you know the Gentiles right have a time of fulfillment. It says until the time of the they understand this. They know that they're only in their knowledge. They also have so much pomp that they think that they can the inevitability of their demise, the inevitability of the end of their reign and their rule. Mm-hmm. They try mm-hmm. to extend it as much as possible. And mm-hmm. and they believe that they can do so infinitely, mm-hmm. right? which is why what we do is so revolutionary,
right?
Mm-hmm. Right? Without having to be typical in what you would think of a revolutionary as far as physical, right? It's not a physical warfare. It's a spiritual warfare. We're not going to raise up guns and put up armies and try to overthrow powers, right?
Right.
That would be contrary to what the Most High says,
right?
Right. So our revolution is in what? Bringing the understanding of who we are to our people. And having them understand that they need to keep these commandments
right.
in the faith of Christ. The other thing you get from when Christ says Jerusalem will be trodden down until the time of the Gentiles be fulfilled is that there are no real Jews in Jerusalem
exactly.
today
right.
because
Bring
the time
out.
Of the Gentiles has not been fulfilled.
Bring it out.
So this fear that they have is a real fear because somebody will read this and go, man, they're not afraid of that stuff. Mm-hmm. It's all inclusive. It's this, that, and the other. There is a real fear here. It says, white supremacists were afraid of losing their dominance and being replaced by blacks in positions of power throughout the South. That's exactly what was happening in Judith.
Right.
That's exactly yep. what was happening in the Maccabees. Right.
That's right.
Fear.
And this is the type of propaganda and rhetoric that they were spreading. The scriptures, they tell you what? That, oh, these people, they don't obey kings. They do their own laws. They do all this stuff. That's the same type of stuff that they try to paint us as.
That's right.
Hey, that's exactly what made Cyrus stop us from doing what we was doing.
Right.
It's been read.
Right.
And yeah, it has been declared.
Right.
Stop them from building.
You got something?
Yeah, yeah. Let me get scripture real quick. Let me just prove that they – one, believe, and two, that they actually fear. This is James 2:19. It says, thou believest that there is one God. Thou doest well. The devils also believe and tremble.
Mm.
So, listen. This man knows exactly who he is. He knows that he has an expiration date, all right? It's like you get the gallon of milk, right? There's the sell-by date. It's like, well, it's still good for a couple of days after that.
Mm-hmm.
But it's still gonna expire eventually.
Even
right?
if you freeze it.
So... he knows exactly who he is. He knows exactly that his empire is falling as ours is being risen, bro.
Hey, you know what? It's interesting that you say that, too, because I believe Liam was going over a little bit of the prophecies in Daniel with the statue and everything.
This morning,
and,
right? Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. And a lot of stuff you find on the internet, and it's not just from Christian groups, meaning that they know that prophecy.
Mm-hmm.
It's us who are ignorant to that. They
right.
know that Babylon's that was this, that the Greeks were the waist and the thighs. They know that the legs is of Rome. And then they try to get them. Ambiguous, some of them about who the feet and miry clay are, right?
Mm-hmm.
So, but you know, like I saw one that he put up that says that they one definition of it is that that's Europe, divided Europe, but they won't put the United States in there, right? Because the pomp of the United States, right? And you know,
divided Europe.
This is part of divided Europe.
Yeah, but the point is, they know. They break those things down, and they know, right? They
joke,
know who they are.
Them,
we're
right.
the ones that don't know who we are,
right?
Right. So it says, it's a weapon of terror to say to the people you're attacking that you don't belong in the mainstream of our society. And we want you to stay back. All right. This is by Gibson Strope, co-author of Passionate for Justice, a biography of the most famous anti-lynching crusader, Ida B. Wells. So it says you shouldn't have political rights, make demands on white people, and shouldn't have the same rights in courts. This is true, right? So yeah, we have the political rights because of government, but they find a way to subdue that from us, right?
Mm-hmm. Of course, yeah.
Gerrymandering, right? Which is where they rezone districts
mm-hmm.
so that the votes don't matter as much, right? Because they know we outnumber. I read something the other day, not relevant to other than this specific point, where I guess Trump was involved with supposedly lobbying for ASAP Rocky to get out of
mm-hmm.
the jail in Sweden, right? And supposedly, like, all they wanted was an apology. A public thanks. You know, they looked at it as basically a PR move for the president and the African-American community. So they got people within the inner circle that say that it was motivated by getting some PR to say, hey, I helped release this guy to get some juice with the so-called African-American community. But then in the same breath, later on in the paragraph, they're quoted as saying he doesn't need the black vote anyway. He got elected with only 5% of the black vote.
Right.
So why? Because that goes back to the gerrymandering. You know, that's more in smaller districts, and then on a larger scale, the electoral college is like a form of that as well, based on how many votes and stuff they get. But I don't want to go too right with that. But just to say that, you know, the politics, it doesn't mean anything, because they can manipulate what they want to manipulate by these type of things and these efforts. So they figured out ways to rezone districts and do things that takes that power of our numbers, you know, out of hand. This is why the whole thing with election processes are rigged, right? And the Most High at the end of the day is the one that's going to determine that. So it says we have no right. We shouldn't be making demands on white people, right? And shouldn't have the same rights in courts, which obviously – while the letter of the law says we should all have the same rights, we know how the court system is skewed against our people.
Right.
We get higher sentences. We get more convictions for the same crimes that white people do.
Mandatory minimums.
Right. So it says one of the biggest fears of the lynching era revolved around sex. White paranoia about black men doing to white women what white men had been doing to black women for years.
Mm-hmm.
White supremacists were obsessed with being replaced on a biological level and fixated on the notion of black men raping white women and creating a mongrel race. Modern day racists are also voicing fears about being replaced. And this goes into a little bit with this was what was pushing the eugenics movement, which I don't know if it was this article. Man, I'm so mad. Sometimes I gotta make sure I jot these things down when I come across them. There's another term that they because they'll try to tell you by and large that eugenics is done away with. Nobody
uses it
openly.
Yeah.
I'm going to put that word. Yeah. Nobody openly advocates for eugenics.
Mm-hmm.
But we know that they do. Right. Secretly. Right. In a hidden way.
Right.
And if you're hip to it and your spiritual eye is open, you'll see that. And Bishop's gone over many classes with that, where eugenics is alive and well, especially when you look at the eugenics tree and the different things that are there.
Right. Exactly. I was going to say that's all you got to do is look at the roots and the branches from the actual eugenics and see that.
Because remember, the trunk of the tree was the eugenics.
Right.
But when you look at the roots, many of those little things that make up the roots of eugenic are still in practice today.
Right.
Right. So it says modern day racists are also voicing fears about being replaced. The white supremacists marching in Charlottesville in 2017 chanted, "You will not replace us." And Jews will not replace us. And the irony in that is that these guys that were marching were thinking
white people Jews.
Mm. But the thing is, the Jews will replace you, the real Jews.
Yeah.
Right?
That's right.
So it's the same people, right? So it says the Texas man suspected in the El Paso shooting. I love how they say suspected, because like this article was like way after that suspected. Imagine.
Like they didn't catch him.
Right. The Texas man suspected in the El Paso shooting posted a document online saying he was defending my country from cultural and ethnic replacement. Conservative talk show host Rush Limbaugh was recently criticized for saying Central America immigrants would dilute and eventually eliminate or erase what's distinct about American culture. It's all about – remember, this goes back to that Maccabees 1, 41 on down, where he says all should be one people. Leave your laws. Leave those customs. Don't speak your language anymore. Be like us. To the end that we would forget our laws and our customs.
That's right.
And again, you pair that with Judith 5, right? And it's letting you know what? That it is an agenda. It is a targeted agenda for us to not know these things, because they understand that our awakening in this is we're going to go and change the tables. It's going to fulfill the time of the Gentiles as that happens.
You know what? I mean, to use your family as an example, you have a Parham, right, who speaks – perfect English. Yours is a little bit more watered down than your sister's, can barely speak it, and Dave can't speak it at all.
The Spanish you're talking about.
Yeah,
you say
English. English. Spanish. Okay. Spanish. So it's the same thing. Like it just stops being taught. It's true.
It's true, and that's a good example, because right, I would say a part of him is more fluent than me.
Mm-hmm.
Then I'm probably there of my siblings. And then my sister and then my brother's just like totally awash with that stuff, you know, like. You know, he don't speak the language at all. And it's funny because he's like the most American of us, like with his hoorah, military, Trump supporter, all that stuff. So, you know, my younger brother. So so it's crazy how in that he's also the one that has least of his identity of of his Puerto Rican culture, which we understand is not our real culture, but you know, it's just it progressively got more watered down.
Right.
But it says conservative talk show Rush Limbaugh said the immigrants would eventually eliminate or erase what's distinct about American culture, and the white supremacists of the lynching era were actually starting to be replaced, at least briefly, on a political level. A dizzying set of reforms called Reconstruction, right? And if I don't know if any of you taking any college level history courses, they talk about the Reconstruction era, right? And it says it briefly transformed the South after the Civil War. Newly freed slaves gained the right to vote, own property, and get elected to offices once reserved for white men.
Right.
Two African Americans were elected to the Senate in the late 19th century, and over 600 served in state legislatures and as judges and sheriffs. Random racial terror is one of the ways white supremacists seized power. White supremacists often went after people who were political leaders in a community, ministers, union organizers, and people with wealth and property who could inspire others to demand their civil and economic rights, according to a report from the Equal Justice Initiative. What they're letting you know is that, and this is what Bishop says, what all these people that hate us don't understand is that if they were ever successful to remove us, they're coming for everybody else next.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Right? So it says, because it says they go after ministers, union organizers, people with wealth and property. Why? It says anybody that could inspire others to demand their civil and economic rights. Now, we're unique in that we're not inspiring others to put their trust in the shadow of Egypt, right, mm-hmm. and watching for a nation that kind of saved them. We're telling them we need to watch and do and apply for this and take the actions that you need to apply to these scriptures.
Right.
And that's the real threat. That's why they're okay with the Al Sharptons and the Jesse Jacksons
right.
and all these people, right? So it says, which is dedicated, nope. So each lynching sent messages to blacks: do not register to vote, do not apply for white man's jobs, according to one essay on the Jim Crow era. It was racial politics by other means, like today. Racial politics. When elected leaders suppress votes, engage in partisan gerrymandering, or decimate unions, they are doing what white supremacists did during the lynching era, trying to keep non-whites in a subordinate position. In a subordinate position, because so long as we are subordinate, then the time mm-hmm. of the Gentiles will not be fulfilled.
Right.
Most of the lynchings were about black people who didn't know their place. They didn't get off of the sidewalk when a white person was working toward them. They looked directly at a white person instead of at their feet. They didn't show the proper level of deference. Place was absolutely essential. You see that now if you're in Starbucks too long having a meeting, mm-hmm. right? If you're selling water on the street, if you're barbecuing in a park and it's too many of you, they tell you that's not the place, and they get upset about it. Right. We go to certain places and certain establishments that maybe not our people go. Right. Maybe go to a fancier restaurant than a typical mm-hmm. Israelite may go to. Right. Typical
Burger
Hispanic
joint.
Or black may go to. Right. And, you know, you get the looks. Right. You go to a neighborhood and you start to see it. Right. And it's like, what the hell are they doing here? Right.
Yeah. Me and my wife went to go take some professional pictures this past weekend. And I had
matching outfits.
Yes. And I had I had my shofar with me. I had it on my arm.
Mm-hmm.
And when I turned around to walk the other way, a white lady came up and she said, that's a real interesting. And she couldn't get the word out, but she finally said, well, I don't want to say weapon. Right. And I was just like, well, no, this isn't a weapon. It's a trumpet that my ancestors used to break down the walls of Jericho. And then we just walked off. You know, and she just kind of like gave us a look like that was, you know, pretty crazy. But why would she, out of all things, associate me having a weapon, you know, like a blunt force weapon?
You do right. You do look Arab, though, the way you walk around dressed, though. you look like a Muslim terrorist.
hey, so just get it, get a less.
Damn. And that's not how Christ dressed, all right?
Oh, snap.
Hey, get a less likely one, though.
Hey, you know I got to get my jabs in at man. You, brother. You know I got to mess with you. Hey, it's interesting that you say that, because interestingly, the word they like to use when they see something on us is interesting.
That's right. What happened with Nehemiah. Remember when we was at the hotel?
I was wearing my Passover shirt with the one with Moses, Miriam, and Aaron. And I was going to pick up some stuff at the P.O. box, and this Edomite, like, he's looking at me from when I'm walking in, and his face was like, and then he goes back. And then, of course, I'm sure his mind was real messed up because, you know, I'm light-skinned, right?
Yeah,
so he's thinking, like, what the hell are you doing repping black people?
Yeah.
And he goes, I'm waiting to pick up some packages. And he goes, and I see his smirk, and I'm just waiting for him to say something. And I'm like, and in that moment, man, like all types of stuff comes up in me, right? Like
right.
I'm angry, like I'm amused, I'm curious.
Right.
And he has this smirk, and he's like, that's an interesting shirt you have there. It's like, yeah, where did you get it? I said, oh, I make them. I said, I make them.
Yeah.
I said, I have many others like them. I said, I even have one with Christ. Looks just like these guys. And he was like, and he put that stupid smirk, and Angel didn't say nothing else after that. Like, he couldn't say nothing else.
Surprise, he didn't go, like, Revelations 1:14-15?
Oh, I would have had to record him. I would have had to do an Amaziah, because Amaziah straight take out his camera and just be like, can you say that again? And they do it, too. He's amazing.
Hey, but Cap, so that's just like, remember when we went to New Mexico
with
Nehemiah? And he's wearing that Ciroc 12 shirt, the one that says, never trust thine enemy.
Yeah. Yep.
And the white woman walks straight up to him. That's an interesting shirt you got there. He said, yeah, and it's true.
Man.
He said,
Yep. Both use the same language to dehumanize their victims. Talking about times today and lynching from then.
Right.
Dylan Roof, the white supremacist who murdered 9 people in 2015 in a Charleston, South Carolina church, said he did it because blacks are prone to violence and white people were being murdered daily in the streets. This is a common theme of white supremacy, reducing non-whites to a subhuman level through language. It's why critics point out the dangers of commentators and politicians referring to an invasion by Central American immigrants. It's why people criticize President Trump for calling some Mexican immigrants rapists. A USA Today published a story examining the language Trump uses to describe immigrants, terms like predator, killer, and animal at his rallies. The white supremacists of the lynching era used similar language to describe blacks, but they also went after other victims. Latinos were lynched, as were Chinese laborers and Jews, right? So they're going to throw that in there. They're talking about maybe like a handful, all right? We went over La Matanza, and like they said it was like 5,000 Mexicans, right? So don't try to – that's like – I'm telling you, every time I see that, I think of Dave Chappelle. It's like, we hurt. Yeah, we hurt too. I get it. We hurt like you hurt. Hold on. It's not the same. Black men were a fixation, though. They were described as brutes, animalistic, rapists. One writer described the typical black man as a monstrous beast crazed with lust. And you know what's crazy? In their warped mind, what they see, because again, thinking about the movie Get Out, right? Their obsession was with they wanted to be the superior race,
right?
But they couldn't. So they did it through this kidnapping and, you know, what do they call it?
The sunken place?
No, the what do they call the procedure?
Oh, I don't remember.
I don't remember.
Oh, gosh. I can't remember the name of it. Right, because they were like, because they would look up and praise the procedure, like the name of the procedure. I forgot what it was called. But through that procedure, what it really was is they said, damn, it's like when the dude was saying, man, you know, if you were in MMA, you could be this, you could be that.
He said,
in their mind, they're looking like, And look, they said a monstrous beast crazed with lust because that's what they are. And they're like, my gosh, if I was that big and strong.
I know I would be a beast.
I would be a monstrous beast.
The coagula.
The coagula. Yeah. That's what it is, right? Yeah. And they're like, oh, hail the coagula. Oh, gosh. An estimated 4,700 people were murdered by lynching between 1882 and 1968, according to the NAACP. They weren't only hanged. They were also shot, tortured, burned alive, or beaten to death by mobs. Random racial terror is what defined lynchings, not a noose. The cruelty is still hard to comprehend. Lynch mobs mutilated bodies and collected body parts as souvenirs. And psychologists will tell you that that's a deep-seated hatred when people do that. It's one thing to just kill, but now you go and you mutilate, collect trophies, things like that. Mm-hmm. There's something more there that
Crime
you have.
Passion,
it's,
man.
It's that disdain, that disgust that you have, right? And it says, lynch mobs mutilated bodies and collected body parts as souvenirs, all while taking pictures of the corpses and sending them as postcards to friends. I don't see postcards of Jews, of Chinese, none of that stuff, all right? And they try to mention that. You got something?
I got something for you. This is the book of Daniel, chapter 9, verse 12, because we keep hearing them try to throw other people in there. But it says, this is the book of Daniel, chapter 9, verse 10, and he hath confirmed his words, which he spake against us and against our judges that judge us by bringing upon us a great evil from under the whole heaven have not been done as has been done upon Jerusalem.
That's right.
So while it may be similarities, it's not done like what's been done
on the scale at all.
No, man. Close. Look at what we just read. Postcards, mutilation.
Bro, postcards, that's insane. Like you said, that's a deep-seated hatred. That's that perpetual hatred that will always be against us as a people.
Yeah, so it's a stroke, though, understands some of that hatred. He once absorbed some of it. He grew up in a white family in segregated Arkansas during the lynching era. Today, he is a civil rights activist who leads anti-racism workshops and previously led an interracial church that was recognized. So, you know, again, that's exactly what I was saying at the start of the show, how Christianity as a religion teaches you integration, forgiveness, and forget as a means to move on it, versus the article we read last week where it says you can't battle these things unless you understand the history of it.
Right.
And by battle, we mean battle by application of the scriptures and identity, right? He says, but he remembers how he was taught when he was young to think of non-whites. My earlier memory was people of dark skin were not human beings like us. I was inoculated with it. He's letting you know that this is what his parents taught him. We felt like lynchings was like killing a dog. I hate to say it that way. It wasn't like we thought we were killing another human being. I never participated in it, but I understood that black people had to be put and kept in their place because they couldn't do like we could. This is what – and someone was saying, well, that's one person. No, this is the conversation. Just like we have conversations with our children about how to deal with police and how to deal with people, this is the conversation that they have. This is why it inspired me doing that class. I said, what's so great a nation? We need to have these type of conversations and let our children know that we are superior.
Right.
Mm-hmm. We are chosen by God. They do this type of thing, but then they also do it at the expense of what? Violently talking about us in the maze of mongrels, beasts, like dogs. I want to get to this last parallel that they're speaking about in the article, because this is really important. It says both, meaning that time lynchings and modern lynchings today, are encouraged by the same type of political leaders. He was a racist in the White House whose words empowered white supremacists and enraged civil rights leaders. I bet you, you read that today, you think I'm talking about Trump.
You're probably talking about...
it says... We're talking, of course, about Woodrow Wilson, the 20th president of the United States. Wilson helped revive the Ku Klux Klan by praising one of the most racist movies ever made, The Birth of a Nation. Mm-hmm. Not the new one.
No, the old one.
The film portrayed black lawmakers who came to the power in the late 19th century South as buffoonish, dim-witted men lusting after white women. The KKK was depicted as heroes. It's like writing history with lightning, he reportedly said of the film. My only regret is that it is all so terribly true. In celebrating the film, Wilson endorsed its message that black people were not able to have political power and needed white people to put them in their place. Make America great again. It can only be done by those white people, right? Like the president we have now, he sort of encouraged white supremacy. Other politicians weren't much better. The NAACP and other groups spent decades urging federal lawmakers to pass anti-lynching laws. Congress debated more than 200 anti-lynching bills in the first half of the 20th century without passing any. In our watching, we have watched for a nation that cannot save us.
Yep, there it
is. Opponents of the bills often describe them as infringements on states' rights.
Wow.
We have the right to lynch you.
The Senate finally passed a law making lynching a federal crime last year. Last year. It's comical, right? Oppression make of a wise man mad, right? Politicians then and now feigned helplessness when asked to stop white supremacist violence or change the subject, which is what they did with the El Paso shooting. The subject became about gun control again. You had this crazy kind of both-sitterism, she says, so that when anti-lynching bills were coming through Congress, you would have Southern Democrats like James Burns out of South Carolina saying things like, yeah, what about murders in New York City? What about the violence in the North? Stop me if this sounds familiar. Today, many Republican leaders have been criticized by those who say they enable white supremacist violence by refusing to confront race-based domestic terrorism or condemn Trump for his racist statements. It's not just Republicans. It's all of them politicians. These white politicians are as morally bankrupt as overt racists because they know better but do nothing.
Mm.
It's why Trump doesn't do it now. That's where the votes are, he says. Even if they didn't believe in white supremacy, they were going to lose votes over it. Anyway, so hopefully that gives some insight into some things. Got to understand the environment and the climate that we're living in, and that it is biblical, all right?
Right.
So that's the show for this week. Lords, we will not be on next week, all right? We have a big event, so we will not be having the show. We'll be back in 2 weeks, Lord's will. With the Power Hour, Native, Latin, and Black Biblical Topics. With that, we say shalom.
Shalom. Shalom.
Nobody really gonna wiggle.